Nations Commission. A leaked cable reportedly revealed Israeli officials were concerned about the damage the United Nations Commission's first report could do if it referred to Israel as an apartheid regime. The Commission presented its latest report to the United Nations General Assembly on Thursday, 27th of October. The 28-page report condemns the Israeli regime for violating international laws by making its control over the occupied West Bank permanent and by annexing Palestinian-owned land in the occupied city of Al-Quds and the West Bank, as well as the Syrian land of the Golan Heights. It also slams Israel for discriminatory policies against Arab citizens, stealing natural resources, and gender-based violence against Palestinian women. In March of 2021, former International Criminal Court Chief Prosecutor Fatou Bensouda announced in a statement the launch of war crimes investigation in the Palestinian territories, which have been under Israeli occupation since 1967. The probe is expected to include the 2014 Israeli military onslaught against the Gaza Strip, the Great March of Return demonstrations in 2018, and the Israeli settlement expansion across the Palestinian lands, including eastern Al-Quds. Turkey's Anadolu news agency covers the same story from a different angle. A group of former European ministers have acknowledged that Israel's policies and practices against the Palestinians amount to the crime of apartheid and called on the international community to hold the Israeli occupation regime to account. The group, in a letter published in the French newspaper Le Monde, said, "We must acknowledge that Israel's policies against Palestinians amount to the crime of apartheid." The former ministers include Danish politician Mogens Liketoft, Finnish politician Erkki Sakari Tuomioja, Slovenian lawmaker Ivo Vajgl, Hubert Vedrin, a French socialist politician, and member of the British House of Lords, Baroness Saida Hossein Warsi. The letter stressed, "We see no alternative but to acknowledge that Israel's policies and practices against the Palestinians living in the West Bank, eastern Al-Quds and Gaza amount to the crime of apartheid." The group argued that the international community's reluctance to hold Israel to account over its crimes poses a grave threat to the rules-based order which is claiming to defend innocent people under siege and occupation. The group said the international community has rallied behind the multilateralism and the need to adhere to international law and protect human rights. Indeed, it is the only way forward in an increasingly polarized global landscape. Referring to Israel's occupation of Palestine, the group added, "At the same time, we are reminded how the international community has too often remained silent and failed to act in the face of grave violations of international law and impunity for serious abuses in other contexts." They stress that safeguarding the international legal order means applying principles uniformly and consistently. The letter slams successive Western governments for failing to uphold the international community's consensus regarding the illegality and immorality of over five decades of Israeli occupation. Although this principle is said to form the backbone of European policy and governs its relationship with the Israeli regime, the apartheid regime has never faced any consequences for its myriad violations of international laws. The website of the Middle East Eye has also covered the same story. The United Nations Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Occupied Palestinian Territories said in a report released to the public recently that Israel's actions against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank amount to persecution. The United Nations Special Rapporteur, Francesca Albanese, wrote, "Realizing the inalienable right of the Palestinian people to self-determination requires dismantling once and for all the Israeli settler colonial occupation and its apartheid practices." The report, dated 21st of September 2022, details Israeli effort to stamp out the Palestinian collective identity and sovereignty, noting the 13th of May 2022 attack by the Israeli military on Palestinian pallbearers carrying their national flag during the funeral of the murdered journalist Shireen Abu Aghlaa. Francesca Albanese also documents the use of lethal force against journalists and humanitarian workers critical of Israel, along with the detention of Palestinian political leaders. The report discusses the recent case of Salah Hamouri, a French-Palestinian lawyer from the city of Al-Quds, who was detained without charges or trial since 7th of March 2022 on allegations of terrorism. According to the report, almost 4,500 Palestinians are currently detained, 730 of them without any charge and largely based on secret evidence. While Palestinian children as young as 12 have been victims of arbitrary arrest and detention, 500 to 700 Palestinian minors are held every year by the Israeli regime. Francesca Albanese critiqued efforts by regional states to normalize their ties with Israel, calling the peacemaking attempts ineffective because they have not focused their approaches on human rights, particularly the right to self-determination, and have overlooked the apartheid and the settler colonial underpinnings of the Israeli occupation.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah
الموسوي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We want humanity to be the best. We want to live in a world where it is a mini or semi-utopia, where people live in peace, where people are not oppressed, where people's rights are not taken, where people can live happily and comfortably and safe and sound wherever they might be. This is what we want. This is the minimum we want. Now, we're not saying that, you know, we should be trouble-free or war-free or what have you, but at least we should have the minimum of these things, because at the end of the day, there always will be bad people. But we said that people become corrupted and the systems become corrupted and societies become corrupted because of a number of things. One of these things that corrupt humanity is, in fact, greed. When people or systems become greedy, then they will take the rights of others and oppress the rights of other people. And we were speaking about the causes that will fall on the person or the system that indulge in greed. According to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, when people, as an individual or as a system, when they indulge themselves in greed, this moral vice, what follows is poverty. The funny thing when it comes to greed is, a person could be very rich, he could have millions and billions of dollars, yet in fact he is considered to be poor. How so? A greedy person wants to gather and collect, but never spend. If you're not spending, then you're depriving yourself. And if you look at the richest people in the world, you see them, they are the most stingiest people in the world, that they don't even spend on themselves. They might have a house and a car, and that's about it. Where sometimes you see people who are less fortunate than them, less richer than them, and they are, I don't know, living an extravagant life. They have houses, they have cars, they, you know, until they drive themselves poor. And all you have to do is go on Google and type in some actors or some singers who made fortunes, and they lost it because they were just wasting it. So wasting is obviously is not a good thing, and greed is also not a good thing. So a person should not fall in one of these extremes. What we're saying here as well, that poverty comes because of greed. A person becomes greedy, he never spends, therefore he becomes poor. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, salamullah alayhi, says, al-harisu faqir. A greedy person is in fact poor. وَلَوْ مَلَكَ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا. Even if he owns the entire earth with whatever it has, if he owns it, he's still a faqir. Why? Because he's not spending it. He's not using it. And even worse is on the day of judgment. Allah says to him, we will question you the way of a rich person will be questioned, because you have money. And you lived a life of poverty. You lived in a way where you did not spend on yourself or spend on those who you loved. So you were poor, technically speaking, in terms of how much you spend. And in the akhirah, you'll be judged as a person who is rich, which means all this money that we have accumulated, it becomes a curse on us on the day of judgment. So it's a lose-lose situation for those who are greedy. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Again, when individuals or systems or governments become greedy, they become corrupted. They become, as we say, transgressors. A hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says, "Ashqaakum ahrasakum," the most corrupted, the most vile, the most transgressor amongst you is the one who is greedy. Because when a system becomes greedy, it means they are depriving their own people of their essentials, be it health, be it education, be it an easy life. A government that has plenty of wealth, plenty of oil, plenty of resources, plenty of money, but yet they don't give to the people. They make the people work actually harder and harder, and they put so much taxes on them. That is a corruption. This is transgression on people because of these governments. And then again he says, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, من كثر حرصه كثر شقاؤه. And the more the person becomes greedy, the more a system becomes greedy, the more devastation, the more corruption, the more transgression. And that's something that we can see today. When you look at the main powers in the world, whether it is Europe or whether it is America or whatever it might be, they are powerful, they have so much resources, but people are the most who are suffering in these countries. You have so many millions and millions and billions of people under the line of poverty in these countries. Why? Because their systems and their countries are the greediest systems that ever lived or existed on the planet. Where if we look at the Islamic prototype and the Islamic system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants people to indulge in, is the fact of giving, not herding, not collecting, not gathering, giving. So Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, when he was the Khalifa technically, because, you know, it had to be technical, he comes to the treasury house and he cleans it every single day. Meaning, like, he literally, you know, he swipes the floor and cleans the floor. It means there's nothing left. He distributes everything that is in the treasury and gives it to people. Those who were before him and those who were after him, the treasury was full of money and was not given to people. Was given to the special elite or the close ones to these khalifs or these rulers. So the Islamic model, the Islamic module here is to give to people, not to take from people, to be generous, not to be greedy. And then Amir ibn Salamullah alayhi, in these 4 years and 6 months that he was a khalifa and he was a leader of the Muslims on technical terms, even though, you know, he was a khalifa from day one anyway. People weren't, there were no hungry people. There were no poverty. Even, you know, he used to pay money to for the youth to get married, so there was less corruption happening. And then he would sit down and say, I wonder, there might be someone in Yemen or Sham that have never tasted, you know, how it feels to be full all the time. And this is the justice system that Islam wanted. Wanted people to live happily with whatever the governments have. They need to give back to people, not take from people so they can grow and, you know, build their arsenal in terms of weapons and what have you. No, no, no. They need to give to people. Me and you, as individuals, we have to learn to give, because taking and having and becoming greedy is in fact a form of transgression towards ourselves, towards those who love, and towards our society. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Food for thought. سلام. And
represent you part of a moving supplication to Almighty God by Imam Hassan Askari, peace upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O you, the aware of hidden consciences, you are merciful to everything and aware of everything. Forgive those who repent and follow your path. Protect them from the torment of fire. Give them soon your victory that you have promised them, and you do not fail the promise.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Another world record news. This time it has been set in Switzerland. A Swiss railway company has run the world's longest passenger train with a trip on one of the most spectacular tracks through the Alps. To celebrate its 175th anniversary, Switzerland's rail industry launched the world's longest ever passenger train, measuring around 2 kilometers. The electric train took almost an hour to cover around 25 kilometers over the UNESCO World Heritage Albula line in eastern Switzerland. The Albula line is famous for its endless swooping curves and steep descents. Rail enthusiasts lined the valley to watch the train's 100 cars snake through the Alps. Belgium and the Netherlands were the previous record holders for the world's longest passenger train. They used standard railway through the flat landscapes.
If you enjoy street art, then you'll probably like Iztapalapa district in Mexico's capital city. Nearly 300 neighborhoods in this area are beautifully painted with brightly colored murals for all to enjoy. Visitors can also ride a cable car and take a tour of the art from above. The district is home to nearly 7,000 murals and graffiti painted on all sorts of surfaces, including rooftops. Iztapalapa Murals is a project that was promoted by the Mexico City's mayor in 2018. The goal of the project was to recover and dignify public spaces through art and involve neighbors in its creation and conservation. Iztapalapa is one of the poorest municipalities in the capital, and the initiative aims to reduce neighborhood violence through public lighting of the murals during the night.
It is never too late to learn a new skill. That's what 100-year-old Nada Rudan has shown with her art when she discovered her love for painting at the age of 87. The Bosnian native says she started to paint to keep herself busy, and now she finds the days are often too short to fit in everything she wanted to do. The artist paints for 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon without glasses. Rudan marked her 100th birthday with an exhibition of all the works that she has painted over the years.
My 100th birthday, I've celebrated it at sea. That was really a big event for me. Before that, I had an exhibition that I didn't hope for. But my children persuaded me. I was against it. I'm not an artist. I said, children, don't embarrass me.
She says she's inspired by nature and her travel around the globe. Rudan has lived in numerous areas such as Central America, Hawaii Islands, Europe, and the Asian Himalayas, among many other places. The artist survived both World War II and the siege of Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb forces. Iran's Kish Island is known as the paradise of the Persian Gulf. Our correspondent Youssef Jalali has been to the stunning southern Iranian resort island and has filed this report about its beautiful attractions.
It's Snowland at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. This snow town is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists. While U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai, the island's officials believe it still has a chance to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on two major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Yusuf Jalali from Kish Island.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A 78-year-old artist is making a comeback with a unique art installation on Governor's Island in the United States of America. One of its biggest features is the sound and creaking of moving chains.
It's a project that I proposed for a commission in St. Louis. The site of the commission was the area near the Mississippi River and the St. Louis courthouse. So I wanted to do a piece that addressed those areas and, you know, the subjects. And of course, we have in those areas the Mississippi River, which is the place that you talk about the history of American commerce, but also we can talk about the history of slavery.
Charles Gaines wanted to highlight the role slavery played in building the economy of the United States. That's why he purposely used chains, and the sculptor pointedly faces the Statue of Liberty in New York City. The installation is roughly 30 meters long and activated by colossal chains that rotate on anchors. The installation is part of a three-chapter series called The American Manifest, Moving Chains. It will be kept for all to see until the summer of next year.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out three patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
If you have a sweet tooth, then this next bit of news is just for you. Visitors are now taking advantage of the expanded version of Cakeland, which is an immersive art gallery in the U.S. city of Los Angeles. The structure is meant to feel like a giant multi-layered cake. It's entirely made of artificial materials, but looks like if it's full of cherries, whipped cream, and layers of cake. Artist Scott Hoff says he used nearly a ton of pipe frosting, 120 mirrors, and thousands of cherries. Plus, he embedded thousands of crystals in the walls as a final touch. The artist says he chose to develop Cakeland after he noticed how much his artificial cake sculptures were welcomed by viewers.
So I chose cake because, number one, it's really beautiful. Number two, it's really fun to do. And number three, it engages the viewers in such a meaningful way.
Hoff says he never actually made a real cake before and has mainly followed his enthusiasm for fake food as the inspiration for this project. Visitors are able to walk through the cake, a labyrinth, and explore various rooms. While there is a lot of deliciousness and lightness of the cakes, visitors to this cake land can discover some interesting darker elements as they wander around. The art installation has continued to expand since it was founded by Hov in 2020. Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic that we are going to discuss about in this episode is Islam and mental health. Be with us. Today, Tuesday, is the 6th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of November, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, and from the Holy Quran, we choose chapter Ma'idah, verse 44.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إنا أنزلنا التوراة فيها هدى ونور. يحكم بها النبيون الذين أسلموا للذين هادوا والربانيون والأحبار. والربانيون والأحبار بما استحفظوا من كتاب الله وكانوا عليه شهداء فلا تخشوا الناس واخشوني ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ
Indeed, we sent down the Torah, in which was guidance and light. The prophets who submitted to Allah judged by it for the Jews, as did the rabbis and scholars by that which they were entrusted of the scripture of Allah, and they were witnesses thereto. So do not fear the people, but fear me, and do not exchange my verses for a small price. And whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then it is those who are the disbelievers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Islam is the religion of all. The prophets of the Israelites have been qualified with submission, not with Judaism and Christianity. And in general, the scholars of every nation are responsible for the execution of the commandments of the Lord among people. Therefore, guardianship of jurisconsult has evidences in all religions. We are speaking about Islam and mental health on IRIB English Radio. As Muslims, we understand health to be holistic. It is not just physical health, but the spiritual health is also important. Social health is also important. And on top of that, mental health is also important in combination with physical health, and we know that all of these factors are connected. As Muslims, that is a part of how we understand this world. That is a part of how we understand this life. What is the number one New Year's resolution that people make? They say, I want to get healthy. The thing is, just like how we have to maintain our physical health, we also have to maintain our mental health. We all know that if we do not brush our teeth, there is going to be problems. The dentist tells us when we go to the dentist, you have a cavity, you need to take care of it. So we realize that if we leave health problems to linger, then they can become more and more severe. It's the exact same with mental health.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with another topic to discuss with each other about the role of faith and iman in improving the quality of life and mental health. So what becomes the source of human happiness? We can actually say that two things can be the sources of happiness. One is our efforts, and second, hope and confidence in new conditions, which is accompanied by presence, submission, and utmost effort. In fact, peace of mind is what the modern man lost and he's searching for with all his heart. So this is what he is after, the modern human being is after. According to Al-Quran, the holy book of Allah, a believer is someone who has a healthy, peaceful, and secure personality and does not let sadness into his heart compared to the past. Allah inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. The strong faith, the strong belief that comes from studying the wondrous mysteries of this vast universe fills the heart with love, joy, peace, and assurance. In the light of Allah's servitude, man is freed from the shackles of servitude to someone else. And when he gets acquainted with the infinite existence, everything except him, except Allah, becomes small in his eyes. And for this reason, actually, his soul will not be subject to the storms of anxiety and worry.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Here, mental health tips from the Quran and Sunnah. Seeking expert help when you need it. When we become sick with the flu, experience recurring pain in the part of our body or break a bone, for instance, may Allah protect us all from these issues, we seek medical attention from experts. We visit our family doctor. We consult a specialist. We go to an urgent care facility. Similarly, if we regularly experience feelings of anxiety, worry and fear that keep us from functioning normally or affect our relationships with others, we must seek the help we need from experts. This can mean different things for different people depending on the situation, for some experiencing difficulties related to the practice of their religion. Seeing a qualified imam, sheikh, maulana might be what is needed. For someone experiencing extreme sadness, a professional in the field of psychology might be more beneficial. When in doubt, you can also start with your primary care physician, as they are trained to help you with general wellness, identifying signs of chronic anxiety and depression, and they will refer you to the adequate specialist if particular care is needed. What does Islam teach about meaning anxiety, depression, and self-doubt? Islamic teachings validate negative emotions, and from these teachings we can derive practical tips to overcome them. Some practical steps from the Islamic tradition to deal with negative emotions include: practice the sunnah of having a good opinion of others. Give others excuses and try to understand where your thoughts or emotions might come from. Also understand that other people's actions may be a reflection of their feelings towards you, but a reflection of their own negative experiences. Remind yourself that there are great blessings, opportunities in difficulties and suffering. And lastly, strive to remember that Allah is always with you, even if it feels like the entire world is against you.
In addition to, from the medical perspective, we also need to recognize, brothers and sisters, that alongside the help from these experts, and we have to respect whatever level of scholarship they have reached at, we also need to recognize the fact we need experts in the human soul, ilmun nafs. We need religious scholars, not necessarily your local mulana or sheikh, but we need trained scholars on the soul to maybe work in tandem with the medical health experts. But both have to be involved in this discussion. It cannot be that Islam does not have a response to these issues, because the Quran tells us the soul is a creation from God, and God tells us about the ruh, that we as humanity only have a little bit of knowledge about it, about its uniqueness, about its qualities, its characteristics. What can bring it out of balance? What can bring it back into that equilibrium? And so as much as we rely on physical doctors and our hospitals, we need to recognize the fact that we need to rely on the spiritual doctors as well. Because we are human beings of a mind, a soul, a body. We're not just physical creations. We have an immaterial aspect to us. And if that is not put into the equation, then perhaps these mental health issues will continue to perpetuate.
Thank you very much. And that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic. Till then, take care. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي.
لا إله إلا الله، الله ربي،
محمد نبي، علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.